Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I am the Runnin' Rev. I'm thrilled to bring you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. In this episode, I invite in Paisley Landry, and this is one of those awesome stories of seeing these folks who are doing amazing things on the run in their local community on Instagram, in this scenario, reaching out and just seeing, man, this would be a great person to get on the pod to have a conversation with about running, about community, about what all of it has meant coming together. And boy, this conversation does not disappoint in that respect. I had Paisley on. She is from the Austin area in Texas, and she is talking about her journey through running and what the input of community has looked like for her. So let's jump into this conversation. All right, welcome in, Paisley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Andrew?
Doing well, trying to stay cool, which I think you are too, down there in Texas. Welcoming you in this day. But Paisley, let's get started. What is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Oh, that's a great question, Andrew. I think when I first thought about this question, I thought back to when I first started running. I started running kind of back in college, which was many moons ago. And it was really just me and my, at the time, he was my boyfriend, but now he's my husband. That was kind of my running community. He was my support. He, you know, was always there to give any kind of support that I wanted, was there at the end of my races and there for all my trainings. But I think as the years have gone on and I've become more involved with an actual running community here in Austin and kind of via social media and Instagram, my running community has really expanded to a lot more people, some of the running groups here in Austin. And then also to people on Instagram who are just amazing humans and celebrate you, even if they've known you, which I think is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it looks like from your Instagram and social media, and for listeners, that's kind of where I met Paisley, was just searching and all of a sudden comes up on the feed and we follow each other and then set up this interview. And like you said, many, many moons and many months later, we finally got a chance to record. But you see kind of your Instagram kind of runs the gamut of everything, whether it's just you running down the road on your own, just catching in some miles, you showing up for just community runs. I think I just saw that you did, Eugene and ran up in Oregon. So not just, you know, kind of there in Texas, but all over the country. So what does it look like in your running journey as this shift from, all right, I'm running mostly by myself, mostly with my boyfriend. What's it been like for you starting to get in? What was it like for you to get involved in the community? And how did that progression come about?
That's a great question. So it's funny that you say that because I just came across a photo of my very first marathon that I ran in 2011. And back then I was very much like, I'm a solo runner. I can't talk to anybody. I don't want to run with anybody. I want to be by myself kind of person. And I ran that marathon and it was kind of lonely. I think that it's taken a few more marathons to kind of build that camaraderie with people. I've met some really amazing people at races who have inspired me to want to run more races. And because of that, because I signed up for more races, I found more people in my local community who were also training for that same race. So like with Eugene, I had a group of four or five girls that we would wake up and we would train together and we'd run together. And we've become really good friends. Like even right now, we're not training. Well, one of them is for Berlin, but the rest of us are still just joining in and just kind of becoming a group. And I was talking to my husband about it and I was like, you know, it's funny how I used to be so like anti running with others and just wanted to run for myself by myself. But now I think that it really does take, I guess a community, a village. People really do inspire you and want to bring out the best of you. And I think that that's really beneficial to help you, you know, push yourself, achieve goals and just see what you truly are capable of doing.
And not that there's anything wrong with ever running solo, I think that, you know, there's something great about just going out and going for a few miles. But as you were making that transition, did it feel like something was missing from your journey? Were you looking for something else? Were you looking for a new challenge? Because I think there's a lot of us, you know, we'll show up to races and there are thousands of people at races. And I often wonder like, oh, I wonder what that person's story is. Or I wonder what that person's story is. I wonder what they've been doing. And even here locally, I'll meet people at even small local races. I'm like, I've never met you before. And they're like, oh, yeah, I tend to just run by myself. So for you, what was kind of the shift? What were your thoughts? Like, did you want to start running with community or did it just kind of become a thing that happened naturally?
I would say that the shift was kind of back in, about 2 years ago, I ran the New York Marathon. And, when you run one of those big world major marathons, you start the morning so early and you spend a lot of time transporting yourself to the start line and being in corrals and just meeting a bunch of different people before you actually start running. So at that specific race, it was funny. I was standing outside my hotel and I met a person who was waiting for an Uber. So I Ubered with them and I got to talking to them about their story. And that kind of inspired me. And from on the Staten Island ferry, I met another person and talked to them. It was just on. And then on the bus, I met another girl. So kind of like those people specifically really inspired me. And two of those girls that I met that day talked to every day. One lives in Illinois and one lives in Canada. And it's just, we're always texting and telling each other, like, I'm signing up for this race. I'm doing this. How can I support you? How can I cheer for you? And I think that though that relationship I built with those two girls made me think like, okay, I can find this also in this community in Austin, Texas, and have that in-person value too. And so from there, I started searching like you did on Instagram. I searched like Austin runners and I started following some of the girls that are local here in Austin and, you know, messaging them, asking to meet up for races and start for runs and stuff. And so that shift was just kind of, once I started realizing like, oh, this is fun. Like, this is great. This is a great feeling. You have other people to like celebrate you at the end of the run. You're not just like coming home to nothing. So, I think it just really took that shift of like meeting people, expanding that horizon for me.
And backing up, was there ever a feel that, did you ever feel like you couldn't run in groups? Like, what was this? I want to unpack this feeling of what led you to want to run solo. And partially because one, I'm very extroverted and my introverted wife fascinates me in how she just doesn't want to be around people. I'm not sure whether you're introverted or extroverted, but I often, you know, when you see people who they get started, you know, in running and they're like, oh, I want to run by myself. What were some of the thoughts that went behind that? Did you feel like you had to run by yourself? Did you feel like self-conscious about your abilities? You know, I want to kind of unpack that a little bit.
Sure. It's funny. I always say I'm very introverted unless the topic of running comes up and then I become an extroverted person. I think when I began, I was going through a really hard time in my life. I had lost my mom really early in my life and I went to college that was like 6-7 hours away from my hometown. And it was just my way of like taking care of my own emotions. Like if I go for these runs, I can think through my thoughts. I can, you know, go through the emotions of whatever I'm feeling. So it kind of came therapeutic in that way. And because it became therapeutic that I just refer to it as my time. This is my time to myself. This is my time with my thoughts to work through my emotions, X, Y, and Z. But I think that what I have learned, especially in this past year running with these girls, is so we don't run with music, which is something I never thought that I would do. And we just talk the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it's great because they offer advice and they offer support and you get to talk through people. So it's almost like another form of therapy too, in that sense. And kind of just what that shift was. I mean, I still love running by myself, but I definitely look forward to those Saturday morning long runs with them.
Do you think even in your current journey, as you're balancing the both end of this, that part of what drew you to running to begin with, and especially wanting to run by yourself, that therapeutic nature. Do you think that that still draws you to look forward to those times that you now run by yourself?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely, I love to be out there by myself, just taking it all in. This past weekend, I was running the trails around my own house, and I just kind of stopped and looked around and took a moment, and I was like, this is great. Like, I'm glad that I'm able to do this. I'm glad that I am healthy enough to do this and that I can enjoy this too. Cause I do hear a lot of people that say like, oh, I'm running, I could never do it. And it kind of makes me a little sad for them, because I think that it does offer a lot of like therapeutic benefits, like to yourself solo, mentally, physically, all of the above.
Do you find yourself balancing your running schedule to make sure that you continue to have those solo experiences? Because I think the other end of the spectrum is, you know, you can swing this one way and just, I want to do everything solo. I want to do everything by myself, for myself, all of this stuff, which kind of seems like where you were. And again, not that it was bad in any way. It sounds like it's what you needed at the time. But then I think the opposite effect could happen, where you swing the entire other way, which is like, no, I always need to be running with other folks. I always need everyone there. And even for someone like me, that sounds daunting, because I'm like, no, I hear what you say about therapeutic runs. And I'm like, no, there's just sometimes I want to run solo. I just want to run by myself. And sometimes I am that crazy person who runs without headphones, just lost in the world. And so, you know, obviously you're not swinging all the way back over to that side, but how do you create that balance? Because what you're trying to do in that situation is not just fill this desire of wanting to run with other people, but also protecting the sacred space that is like that solo run of being able to maybe have that therapeutic moment. How do you balance both of those sort of ideas within themselves?
Well, I think that running is a form of like self-care. So I look at it in that sense too. So for me, I like solo runs too, because it offers a chance for me to kind of like set my own limits and see how I can push past my limits. In a sense that it also strengthens my like mental toughness too. I think that especially when you're training for a marathon, when you're doing a lot of pace works or speed works or things like that, just to kind of push yourself and know that you did that yourself is very rewarding too. So I do like in the sense that it has a little bit more of a reward of like, I did that. I did that for me. I did that by myself. I have that sense of accomplishment. So I mean, I would say, you know, 90% of my runs are still solo runs. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I'll take my son out with me to go bike riding, or I go out with my girlfriends, but I live kind of pretty further out from them too. So it's not so easy to get to them. So a lot of my runs are solo runs, but I wouldn't change that, because that's how I started. And that's getting me back to my roots and getting me back to being grounded again. And just why it gives me a time to realize like why I love running and bringing me back to there's just passion for it.
I continue to think in this way of, you know, what is this balance look like? Because for a lot of folks, when they're beginning their communal running journey and they're coming from this solo aspect, you know, they do want to dive fully in, but to be able to protect that sort of opportunity to feel in a place where you can run solo. And it sounds like for you, there's a lot of different boundaries that play into that. And a lot of different boundaries that I think people will take in, whether it is like, you know, if you live a little bit further away from the communal group runs, you have to be more intentional then about going for those group runs. And so what opportunities are you looking for as you're looking for these places to run? Because you talk about, you know, running with your friends and what that looks like, doing long runs with them. But also, you know, seeing that you've also done, you know, community runs around your community, that you're going and doing some of these big races. I think I saw you're part of the Brooks Running Collective. Yeah. And so what it's like being a part of groups like that, that are not there locally, but exist on more of like a national level. And so I think a lot of people who are ambassadors for brands are experiencing that as well. What is going into these decisions about then how you are interacting with the running community?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Kind of bringing it to the Brooks Running Collective. It's a group of amazing people. There's about like 250 of us, mm-hmm. I believe. And they do a really good job of having us connect. And I have actually, I would say, met some of my really close friends, in the running community through this group as well, too. One in particular, we had connected before we even knew that we were part of the Brooks Running Collective. And he's been so supportive, like just reaching out and like asking me during training how training's going and, you know, offering advice when I need it and just support when I need it. And I think that that is something that I think is beneficial to someone who is starting running is find some kind of community, find either virtually. I mean, I'm telling you, the running community is the best. Social media can be ugly. It can get gross out. I think the running community is a beautiful community on social media. Everybody's nice. Everybody's positive. You can find so many people who you connect with that you feel like you've known them for life, that you feel like they've been your best friend, but you've actually never even met them in person. So I would say find, you know, either online or find someone within your own community, within your own family, someone. All you need is one person to say, you got this. I believe in you. You can do this. And I think that those words go so far. So I think that that's extremely special to have too. It's just having that little bit of support to really catapult you into loving this and making it a part of your everyday life.
You talked about it a little bit earlier, but how have you noticed not even necessarily your fitness? Because I think that there might be a separate conversation about fitness that might more so probably be connected to just consistency that's gained when you're running more regularly. But how has your love for running developed over this time of getting more and more involved in this communal side of running?
Yeah, I think the biggest spin on it was that I used to kind of look at running as something that I had to do. Like I said, I have to do this for my mental health. I have to get this run in. I have to do it for, you know, to maintain a physique or to maintain a fitness. But just kind of looking at it now is like, I get to do this. I get to go out and I get to do something good for myself. I get to have 30, 45, an hour to myself each day to kind of regenerate my soul, or I get to go spend time with other people who share the same passion and thrill for me. And I get to be inspired by others. I think that kind of changing that mindset from and I know it's so cliche to hear, but really changing your mindset from like, I have to do this to like, I get to do this. There are people who don't get to do this. And I think a lot of times we take that take it for granted. And I don't think we should. This is a gift and we should definitely treat it that way.
Yeah, I think I've heard that on other running podcasts too, talking about that nature of just sitting in, you know, I get to do this. This is something I get to do, because it takes that, it almost takes that pressure, that weight. Even when we think we have to perform, whether it's at a race or, you know, for content creators like you or running influencers like you, you know, that you have to show up at this event. And to think that something like that, it almost does. It can suck the joy out of something that we genuinely love to do. And that's one of the things that, you know, I never want the joy of running to ever leave. You know, I talk about having this goal of 90. I want to be able to break 90 minutes in the half marathon, but even more so, I want to be running when I'm 90. And there's a lot that goes into that of, you know, now I not only need to be in shape to run when I'm 90, because like, you know, brittle bones, but to also have the joy of running for that long, for that amount of time. What does it look like for you? What kind of things do you do in your journey that helps you to remain in that space? Not just going and joining groups, but how are you extending that joy to others?
I think one of the ways that I'm doing it is kind of looking at, as I mentioned earlier, I have a son who's 5, and just kind of knowing that like, I get to be the example for him. Like I kind of laughed because you called me a run influencer, and I don't feel that way, but I get the vibe. But if there's just one person in this world that I can influence, it would be my son. And that's something that like, just this morning, he was kind of excited to show me how fast he can run and how he starts to run. And that to me is more important than anything else, because I mean, I read the most powerful thing the other day that was like, I never want to tell my kids how back in the day I was fit and healthy. Like, I want to show them that I still am. And that's something like, I want to still be healthy with my son. I want to be able to like show him the importance of like doing things for yourself, setting hard goals, achieving hard goals. But also like putting yourself out there too, breaking outside of your comfort zone. I have a girlfriend here in who runs with her mom, and it's the cutest, warm-hearted feeling ever. And we actually ran into them this past weekend, and I found myself kind of like a little sad that I won't ever get to have that because my mother did pass at such a young age. But then I kind of turned that negative thought around. And I was like, but I get to have that feeling with my son. Like, I get to share a bond of like being healthy and doing these things with him. So I think that that's kind of what swings my pendulum back to, is that I'm showing up for myself, but I'm also showing up for him.
How much does your family play into this? You know, you talked earlier at the beginning and again now about your son playing this role. And you talked about, you know, when you started running, you were running with your boyfriend, now husband. How much does that play into this communal understanding of running? Because obviously they're not, you know, they're there on the sidelines for you. And I mean, whether they're actually physically on the sidelines a lot of times or not, you know, I think that it's shown in other ways. And you talk about wanting to do it for your son. And so what does that like look like for you to receive that support from them as, you know, wife or mother is out doing a, you know, a 20 miler to get ready for this marathon. And it's like, oh, well, she's going to be gone for like, you know, 3.5 hours. So what's it been like to receive that support from them as well?
I mean, I think that really helps. I mean, that makes or breaks it, honestly. Having a supportive spouse, partner, just someone in your life. I know that I wouldn't be able to get to do this as much if it wasn't for the support from my husband. Like, I know that all parents probably wake up 3-4 o'clock in the morning and think, I have to get this in before I, you know, my child wakes up. But it's nice to know that even though I have that feeling, like to come home and know that like my husband is supportive and was like, how was your run? You know, do you need to get a run in? Go for your run. Like, whenever I do tell him that I'm going for a run, he always says like, take your time. And I think that that's really important to me, to know that I don't have in the back of my head, like, how do I squeeze in so many miles within a time frame? Like, just having that little bit of support or those supportive words helps tremendously. So I think that even though they are quote unquote on the sidelines, having their support, I wouldn't be able to do it without him, for sure. I mean, he's been my support system for almost 19 years now. So it's been amazing how far I've gone having that support from him.
And looking at that journey going forward, what are other places that you're looking? I mean, not that you need the community support, but one of the things that I think we do is we want to continue to grow into that nature. And especially it sounds like in your journey, as you've progressed in this journey from, you know, solo runner, mostly by yourself, starting to slowly get acclimated with community. And then, you know, now to where you are now, what are you looking for going forward? What are some of the things that Paisley is wanting to have in communities that are surrounding her? Because it's not just the support, it's not just these things, but what are some of the things that you're looking for?
I think, one is just like a long lasting friendships too, that come from it. I've met some amazing girlfriends, and they're just, you know, really, I really look forward to those times, but just kind of, getting more to be a part of the actual community around me. Like I said, I was kind of introverted, so kind of stepping outside of my introvert shell and trying to get more comfortable with like putting myself out there into the community. There's an app that I'm kind of working with right now called Get Running Mate. And it's a great tool for like runners and runner safety, which I think is something that I'm very passionate about, because as a woman, I don't always feel safe running outside. I'm lucky to live in a neighborhood that I do feel rather safe, but I know never to let my guard down. But just kind of like helping the community to like spread runner safety and runner awareness, and just like helping us feel safer in this space too, but also helping like new runners know that it, like, you're safe here as a new runner. It really makes me sad when people do get kind of embarrassed or shy, or they don't want to run with others because they're worried that what others are going to think. And I don't think that that's ever the case with runners. Like, nobody will ever judge you. We're happy that you're here. We're happy that you're a part of this community, and we're happy that you're experiencing this joy that we have. And so I think that that's something that I would really like to kind of help people bring awareness to, that like, everybody wants you to be here. We want everybody to be a runner because it's an amazing thing.
And beyond sort of those ideas of making sure that these spaces are safe for anybody and everybody who comes, I definitely see that around here, of being intentional that when we are welcoming people in, that it's like, all right, we want to make sure that people feel comfortable coming into our community and what that means for folks. And so what are, you talked about safety, you talked about those things. What are some other, ways that you're working to help bring this comfortability, to bring this space, to create that openness within the running community, so that anybody and everybody is welcome? We say in our running club, like, all paces are welcome, but at the end of the day, it's still, how are we making that visible? So what are some ways that you're working in that space beyond just that safety aspect?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you kind of nailed it right there. Like, all paces are welcome. I think that celebrating all paces too, really, like, I mean, to me, pace is kind of like, it's gotten this like negative connotation almost to like the equivalence of like how much you weigh. And I just don't like it. I don't think a number defines anybody. I don't think your pace defines you as a runner. I think that if you put yourself out there and you lace up your shoes and you get out there, whether you walk a little bit, run a little bit, whatever you do, you're a runner. And I'm proud for you for doing that, because that's a hard step. And I know this as someone who has been running for almost 20 years, that to put those shoes on and make that first step out the door, that's a hard step to take sometimes. So just to celebrate that in itself. My son and I, when we are riding around in the neighborhood and we do see runners running, we always like cheer in the car. We're like, go runner, go. Cause I just want him to also know that, like, I don't want him to look at a person and say, oh, that person's running slow or that person's running fast, because you can't really tell. Like, if anything, I just want us to look at that person and be like, man, I wish I was running, like, good for them. Mm-hmm. So, really, like you said, all paces welcome, but like, not even focusing on the pace, just focusing on the person. I think people have good stories to tell, and they bring a lot to our community, and just opening up the opportunity for them to bring to the community is something beautiful that we need to focus on rather than just how fast they can run a mile.
And even recognizing that a mile is a terrible judge of fitness ability for, some of us who have been around a little bit longer. I just continue to think about this, because when the big running boom happened in like the 60s and 70s, it really was. And I hear this over and over again. I think I mentioned it in another podcast. It was all about pace, right? We all, like, everybody just wanted to be like Pree or Frank Shorter or, Catherine Switzer or Joe Benoit. They wanted to be the fastest. And, when I was in high school, I wanted to be the fastest. I wanted to be at the front of the pack. And I wonder how much of that nature got forgotten at that point in time, but is now starting to pick itself back up here. And I think what we're looking at is like this new runner's boom that is really driven a lot by how we see and perceive people running. To say, like, when I open Instagram and I look at, the running community that I follow on Instagram, they don't all look the same. And, the people that I'm interviewing on this podcast, they don't all look the same. And to try and make sure that we're bringing in different folks, because one of the things that we get out of community, I think, is seeing that either we can see ourselves within that community. And I think that that's different for someone like me to say as a white male, because I can see myself anywhere I go, unfortunately, and others cannot. And to say, like, you know, especially for you, like being able to see yourself being safe when you go someplace, and to think, you know, for me, that's something that I've never had to think about. Mm-hmm. And what it means for me to have to take the extra time when I am building out a run community to say, all right, well, have we thought about safety? Mm-hmm. You know, where we run in our run club, we don't have a lot of, like, the trails are not well lit. And so when it gets dark earlier in the winter, you know, we're very conscious of saying, like, all right, the trails are not well lit. Make sure you're running in pairs. But also there is a neighborhood that is only, like, not even half a mile off of the trail, that is well lit. And so, but even thinking, what are we doing in those places to make folks feel safe within it, because that's what's going to help to build this running community out, mm-hmm. and help to make people feel as if they're welcome in that community. And so, you know, you've talked about some of these things of how are we making folks feel welcome? And even to extend that to say, like, Paisley, what can the running community more largely be doing to make people feel welcome?
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that, Andrew. Kind of thinking back when I first started running, this is kind of where I have a love-hate relationship with social media, is because social media can be kind of, you know, fake. It does make a lot of people feel like, okay, well, I don't have those fancy shoes, or I don't have that fancy watch, or I don't have those fancy outfits, or X, Y, and Z, so I'm not a runner, you know, or I don't have that fast pace. When I started running, like, running watches weren't a thing and running shoes weren't a thing. And I mean, I remember I went out for runs and I would use one of those, like, cheap $10 watches from, like, Walmart stopwatches, Timex stopwatches. And I would just time to see how long it would take me to run. And if I ran, you know, 100 minutes or whatever, I would just be like, okay, I'm assuming that I run a 10-minute mile. This is how many miles I went. But I think that kind of makes people feel unsafe to come into this community too, is because they think that they don't have all the fancy gadgets and gizmos, and those don't make you a runner. Like, having a fancy running watch isn't going to make you any more of a runner than someone who just has a Timex, or not hating on Timex because they worked for me. But, like, you don't have to have the latest updated shoes, to have the latest, you know, headphones, shorts, whatever. You can just go out and run. And that's the beauty of running. If you want to be a solo runner and you just walk outside in cotton t-shirts and shorts and go for a run, like, go and do it. So I think kind of just making it more inclusive in that aspect of, like, you know, like, you don't have to have these fancy things. Come as you are, you know, come run with us, be who you are, kind of thing too. I think that that can really help people feel more safe and more welcome, and letting people be themselves and letting them have what they want, and warming up to the running community as they please too.
And how much of that is present, I think, in your own journey as well of, it sounds like from the stories that you've told that it is the welcoming presence of those who have kind of brought you in more. You know, the girls at the New York City Marathon, those who are in the community, the Brooks Running Collective, just, I mean, the great environment that they build. And then how are we replicating that as we go out and we do things? Because, you know, it's hard to replicate events like the New York City Marathon. But I truly believe what's not hard is replicating the feeling that people can get when they come to the New York City Marathon.
Yes.
And I see that as such, like, a crucial point, that whether it is, you know, one of the biggest world majors or just a little, you know, fun run 5K in the neighborhood, can we replicate that feeling of making folks feel like, man, I did something. I did something amazing. Yeah. And is that how we're driving community forward?
I think that it takes people to be able to like accept that and go and do it, if that makes sense. I think that it's a beautiful thing to like be able to go, even if it's a little neighborhood 5K or whatever. Just if you are a runner and you have done that before, and to you it just might be a 5K, but to someone else it's a big deal. That's their first mm-hmm. time they're running that far. So like kind of going out of your way and like talking to people and hearing their story and encouraging them to, you know, like, we're glad you're here. We're happy that you're doing this. We're happy that you're taking a step into this direction. And hearing their story and inspiring them to do more, I think that that's really beneficial too. I know that like I got that feeling from the New York Marathon, but I got the same feeling from Eugene as well too. And Eugene was 13,000 runners, if that.
Yeah.
And so, but I also got that just recently at a 5K run in Austin. Like I looked around and I was just blown away by how many people had shown up for this 5K run on Global Running Day. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing to see so many people out there. And I know some people were so amped because that was probably their first 5K that they've ever done. Mm. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. And I remember that feeling. And I think as runners, the more we run and the more we kind of get into this like, oh, I have to have my 6 stars, or I have to have my PR, I have to have the latest super shoe or whatever, we kind of forget that feeling of like, that first race that we did, or that first run that we went for, and those endorphins that released after that. And I think that it's important to remember those and that feeling, and then to think about others that are experiencing that and then celebrate that with them, because that's such a great feeling. And I mean, I wish you could bottle that up and like sell it to everybody, because yeah. I mean, I hope to experience that feeling in their life. It's just, the butterflies, the overall feeling of achievement, all of it. I think it's an amazing, amazing thing. And I think that we shouldn't lose it when we are so focused on this, like one race or this one thing. So,
you know, again, to say that there's space for us to be able to hit a lot of our own goals, but to recognize the greater thing that is happening around us within a lot of that. You know, for folks who are going after those 6 stars, what that means, but also it's kind of like you reminding yourself of, okay, what got me here? You know, when you get to the finish line of Eugene and you're thinking back on, you know, the miles that you logged, but the friends who often ran those miles with you, your family that has been there supporting you each step of the way, and it almost makes even that joy a little bit sweeter to have met that goal, to have done something like that, and then to be able to find ways that can help to encourage others. Because it's like, hey, it's not like, look what I've done, look how amazing I am. But it's like, look what I've done. Can I help you achieve what you want to achieve? Can I help you do what you want to do? And I think about people who, you know, they'll go and they'll pace folks, right? They'll be a part of the pacers at some of these races around here, or even the encouraging folks on the sidelines of those 5Ks for someone who it is their first race, mm-hmm. Or even being the race organizer for someone mm-hmm. so that people can find those opportunities. I think that a lot of those opportunities that we can then offer because we have experienced a lot of those things, takes that extra step to help folks know that, okay, you may think that I'm some like fast runner who can, you know, run these times, whether it's a, you know, a 1 hour, 45 half marathon, whatever it is. You may think that this is how I define myself. This is just something I've done, mm-hmm. right? It's one part, one aspect about me. But I find so much joy in like the entirety of this thing, right? And returning back to sort of that nature of I get to run and finding the joy of getting to run. Yeah, we can accomplish those goals along the way, but I never want those goals to get in the way of my joy for running and my joy of sharing running with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Paisley, let's hit these end of podcast questions as we wrap up. So what is your favorite distance to run?
Ooh, good question. I think a half marathon is my sweet spot. Every time in a marathon when I'm running, I get to the half marathon and I'm like, what if I just finished right here? So I think 13 miles is a sweet spot for me. So that's probably my most fun distance to run.
I think I'm going to make up like the answers I've gotten, because I want to just show people that the half marathon is just the best distance that exists in the world. I am willing to settle with those folks who like 10 milers. I'm willing to accommodate 10 milers, but a half marathon is the best distance.
It really, really is. Like when we did the 5K a couple of weeks ago, we thought we were going to race it. And I was like, this is hard. I don't know how to race a 5K. Like, I mean, I know how to run fast, but for like as fast as I can for 3 miles. But yeah, half marathons are the sweet spot because it's like right before you get to the pain cave. So then you can just cross the finish line and like relish in those endorphins. So
what is your favorite post-run food, snack, meal? You finish your run, you finish your race. What are you grabbing?
Great question. So lately, I just love going to Trader Joe's and seeing what they have. But more than likely, it's probably just coffee. I don't know why. I know it's not the healthiest. I should probably drink some water or eat some carbs, but a nice coffee, it does wonders for the soul.
Nice. And lastly, give our listeners a reason to join their local run group.
Oh, you're going to meet some amazing people and they're going to want to celebrate you. And there is nothing more exciting than a stranger wanting to celebrate you. Like, how awesome is that? And then that stranger is going to turn into a friend and you're just going to go place. So, join that local running group, find one that really makes your heart swell and go with it. Don't lose those people. They're beautiful people.
Again, listeners, some great advice from another amazing guest. Paisley, thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you, Andrew, for having me.
What another great, joy-filled episode. It's so awesome to be able to bring these stories, you know, moving away from Hampton Roads. And it's, you know, it's my home right now. It's where I'm from. And even looking at RVA and moving beyond that and looking at some of these bigger stories of people, not just in this local community where I reside. I mean, I've got plenty of stories and you're going to hear some of them coming up, but even more so just all around this country. This was an amazing episode to get. And you hear that Paisley is from Texas. It took a little bit of logistical work to get an episode recorded with her, but oh, I am so glad that I continued to pursue after and get her on and get her to help to tell her story and how community has impacted it. Such a joy to be able to share this with you guys. I hope you enjoyed it too. And if you did, please help to support this podcast. You know, come here every week and put these episodes up for you because I love to hear them myself. I love to be able to share them with others so that we can all learn and grow on the run together. But I would love to receive your support for this as well. If you would love to support this podcast, the best way you can do it is just by following or subscribing this podcast. Just find that podcast app that you love. If you're using an iPhone, you have one there on your iPhone, Apple Podcasts. If you're using an Android, you know, you can go with Google Podcasts or Amazon Music. There's lots of great options. And you know what? If you go to runbuildgrow.com/listen, you can find so many great places to find the podcast. Make sure that you follow and subscribe. And you know what? While you're online, head over to Apple Podcasts or to Spotify and make sure, I would love it if you would leave a rating and a review for this podcast. On Apple, you leave the review on like the podcast as a whole. So you go, you find Run, Build, Grow, and then you scroll down and you can leave a rating and review there on the podcast. If you're doing it in Spotify, you go, you follow the podcast, and then you can just leave a little comment about how much you enjoy each episode. And if you're here, you're here for Paisley. What a great and awesome episode to jump in on. I invite you to hop back in the library and listen to some of these other conversations. And then if you're really feeling generous, I would love your support over on buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. And this is great because you can leave a one-time tip. If you just, again, love this episode with Paisley or love something else that I sent out recently and just want to say, hey, you're doing an awesome job. Here's a beer. Here's a cup of coffee. I love that. If you would like to become a monthly donator, you can become a monthly member over on buymeacoffee.com and monthly support this podcast and the Run and Rev Run Club. That would be great. And in doing so, receive just all the love and support that I can offer. I'm hopefully working on. And once I start to receive more support, can have things that I can, you know, offer to folks who are members and offer those monthly donations. But right now I'm just looking for that support. And you can also make sure to go and subscribe over on the Substack, become a member of the Run and Rev Run Club, receive all sorts of updates, blog articles, updates on podcasts, just everything else that's going on. And so if you want to support me in that way, make sure to go and subscribe over on Substack at runandrev.com. As we leave this time, have a great week and make every mile count.